Time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Hi there. Thanks for tuning in Connecting the Diocese. Bishop Callahan will be joining us in just a few minutes talking about the Holy Spirit. And thinking of that, how many of you remember a very old movie from World War II called God is My Co-Pilot? Well, I got thinking about that after reading the news this week about a guy who was in a Piper Cub and the pilot suddenly became incoherent. The pilot was out of commission and this guy had never touched the controls of a plane, even though he had watched the guy. He'd never flown a plane, didn't know anything about them. Fortunately, at the airport in Florida, there was a flight instructor who tried to talk him down over the radio, and the man made, believe it or not, thanks be to God, a perfect landing. Some said it took 20 hours of training for them to learn how to do that. So he got home to his pregnant wife, and all was well in the world. Again, thanks be to God. God is my co-pilot. He sure was that day. And we shall be joining Bishop Callahan in just a minute or two. Time now for the weekly COVID update. And yes, we're still doing updates because, yes, COVID is still out there. It is below pandemic levels, but that doesn't mean it's gone. There's still people getting hospitalized every day, and there are still, unfortunately, up to 500 people a day dying from COVID-19. Who is the latest celebrity to catch COVID-19? None other than, drumroll please, Bill Gates. That's right. Bill Gates got COVID-19. What's going on is simply this. The virus is still out there. It's just not as out there as it used to be because a lot of people have gotten vaccinated and a lot of people are still taking precautions. But for those of you who are not vaccinated and those of you who maybe didn't get the booster and who are not taking precautions, the more people you see, the greater the chance one of them will have COVID and one of them might give it to you. Hospitalizations are up. They're not up as much as during the pandemic, but they're still up. People are still getting sick. And there's still a lot of question marks about the long COVID. Like, how long will you have effects from COVID after you are over it? Many questions to be answered and not a lot of hard science yet because it's still so new. There are predictions out there from the government that unless people take more precautions and act a little bit less like it's party time, we could have 100 million cases this fall. So please, for your loved ones, for yourself, for everybody else, please stay away from crowds, especially if you're vulnerable. And also, if you haven't been vaccinated, there's still plenty of it out there, as well as boosters. We'll lick this thing. It's just going to take a little longer than most people think it will. Well, as promised, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse has joined us, Bishop William P. Callahan. Good to hear your voice, Bishop.
Likewise, Jack. Happy Easter still. We're in Easter season, so to you and to your wife and all the cat population at your house, and then all of the wonderful people who are listening to us by virtue of the broadcast that we've got here, the wireless. Mm-hmm. So we're ready.
How are things going over at the diocese? I'm sure you are, as usual, as busy as can be.
I'll tell you, Jack, I am so tired. I can't believe how tired I am. But it has been these past few days. You know, all of last week, there was so much going on. Last Wednesday was a confirmation over at the cathedral. Then it was the ordination to the diaconate. Then it was something else. There was another confirmation, I think. And it's just lots and lots of stuff. So I'm sitting here now in the middle of this week, looking forward to going up to Eau Claire and confirmations. And then the closing mass over at Peplet, the closing of the parish there. So we are going to be saying bye-bye to all of our friends and neighbors in Peplet.
You know, the month of April just went by so quickly, I cannot even believe it.
Yes.
We're racing through time. There are times when you just need to kind of like try to figure out how you can minimize a little bit and just stop and enjoy, you know, the fact that the flowers are blooming and the birds are here. And, you know, we have our barn swallows coming back to build a nest and things like that. We will be, when people hear this, we are going to be 3 weeks away from, I don't know if you want to call it the conclusion of Easter, the finale. I don't know, but by June 5th,
Yes.
Is Pentecost.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm always thrilled by it because it is this most remarkable story, and I don't know how many people pay a whole lot of attention to it. I'm sure quite a few do, but can you explain basically what it is?
There is divided opinion on the fact that it is the birthday of the church, and most people will say yes. Pentecost is the birthday of the church when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and the Blessed Mother in the form of tongues of fire. They were gathered together in the upper room. And so that was the first. After they received that moment of the fire tongues and that sort of thing, they went out and they started preaching everywhere. There were thousands of people who heard the apostles on that Pentecost day. Now, there are others, as I said, there's divided opinion, but most people would agree that Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And there are those who would say that the church was born, and they would be correct too. The church was born out of the wounded side of Jesus on the cross. So when the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, the right side of Jesus, immediately, scripture tells us, there flowed blood and water, because obviously the body had been punished so much, poor Jesus's body. So they punctured his lung, and as they punctured his lung, the water came out, and as they punctured his heart, the blood came out. So blood and water rushed forth from his wounded side. That, in some instances, was Jesus breathing his last, and as he breathed his last breath, he breathed the Holy Spirit upon all creation. So everybody was reborn in the Holy Spirit, the church was established, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit came on the solemnity of Pentecost, 50 days, which is its meaning, Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. And so that is the birthday of the church. So you got your opportunities to celebrate whichever birthday you want, and but they both are theologically correct.
Now, this begs the question, what were the apostles doing during those 50 days? I mean, we know that at one point they were hiding, obviously. What were they doing for this? They suddenly have already seen the resurrected Jesus.
Yes.
So they know that's true, but also there was a whole bunch of people out to get them.
That's the beauty part of it too, Jack and everybody, that of course, Jesus appeared to the apostles on the day of resurrection. So he went to the apostles who were gathered in the upper room for fear that they were going to get captured and killed. And so the fear is precisely there, that they were afraid. And what happens is, of course, between Easter Sunday and the day of Ascension, when Jesus ascended into heaven, that's when we start to understand, because 40 days after Easter is Ascension. And so the apostles remained kind of close to, you know, the countryside, went back to fishing, doing different things like that. And the stories are told about the apostles doing just that. And that's kind of the end of the Gospels. So there's lots of stories there about the apostles seeing Jesus after the resurrection and seeing Jesus on the seashore, seeing Jesus coming out to help them when they were catching fish and those sorts of things. And Jesus ate with the apostles. So the 40 days between Easter and Ascension are those moments of they're cherished by the church as the last moments of Jesus appearing with his apostles and with those of his select disciples. And it was a very, very important time in the formation of the apostles. But then when Jesus went back to heaven on Ascension Thursday, then there was that time between then and when the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So from Ascension to Pentecost, those 10 days are the ones that the apostles were very much afraid. But once Jesus went back to heaven, They were told, remember, they were told in that ascension gospel, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus whom you see ascending is going to come back the same way he left. Your work is to get back out there and start telling everybody about him. And so that was the start. But then they were still hiding. They were still afraid. So they were still kind of hiding out in the place where they celebrated the Last Supper. And then on the day of Pentecost, while they were there, was the day that the wind started blowing and the lightning started coming and thunder started happening. And then, as they were praying, then came the tongues of fire and the Holy Spirit appeared to them and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. So what happened between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost? They were praying, they were trying to get their wits together. And then on Pentecost, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and started to go out and teach. That is told to us in the Acts of the Apostles. So between Easter and Ascension is the end of the Gospels, most notably John and Matthew. There's some Luke, but not much. Between the time when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended and went back to heaven, and then Ascension to Pentecost is when the apostles were pretty much on their own, but they were praying and they were thinking and they were contemplating. And as they were, the Father and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in the supper room.
In the Gospels, there are several or at least a couple of different ways in which the Holy Spirit is described. The one that I always love is the dove descending.
Sure.
And that was, of course, during the baptism of Jesus, if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
with John the Baptist. This is a totally different rendition of the Holy Spirit. Nothing violent, nothing like that, but a certain amount of power involved. Yeah. One is a very gentle thing, and the other one is like fire.
And well, don't forget when the apostles and Jesus were on Mount Tabor and the Transfiguration. Transfiguration, of course, was an apparition, what we call a theophany. It was a manifestation of the power of God. So when they were up on the top of Mount Tabor and Jesus was transfigured, we had the voice of the Father speaking to them, saying, "This is my Son, listen to him." There are several points at which we get to think about the Holy Spirit, but none as exciting and revealing as Pentecost.
It's interesting that people who are not familiar with the Trinity and things like that sometimes don't understand how there can be a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. They think this is somehow a polytheism or something like that, but it's a lot more subtle than that. And quite frankly, numerous other religions who do exactly the same thing, well, I shouldn't say exactly, but you know, they have representations of aspects of God in different forms. And it doesn't mean that they're polytheistic. It just means that they look at it as one more way of describing what is very, very difficult to describe.
Well, our friend, St. Patrick, is the one we can look at in a very strong way, who was extremely graphic about the idea of the Trinity. And that's where the idea of the shamrock comes in. Why is the shamrock so important? Because it is one plant, the shamrock is one particular plant, but it's made up of three leaves. So there is one plant, three leaves, and that for us is probably the easiest way that we can come to understand the Trinity. One God, three persons. St. Athanasius was a great teacher, and it was he who developed the triangle. So now, if you're going to have to use your imagination here, folks, because this is radio, so you see the triangle. And when you see the triangle, then draw a circle around it where the circle intersects with each of the three points. So the circle goes around the triangle. At the top of the point, you mark the Father. You come down to the right and you say the Son. He's at the next point of the triangle. And then you go over to the other side and you see the third point of the triangle is the Holy Spirit. Now, St. Athanasius, smart man that he was, took the triangle and took the lines of the triangle and drew, you know, the first line, the line between the Father and the Son, he wrote, is not. So God the Father is not the Son. Then between the next line that went over to the Holy Spirit, the Son and the Holy Spirit, God the Son is not the Holy Spirit. So that was on the next line. And then the line going back up between the Holy Spirit and the Father, that line says, is not. So God the Holy Spirit is not the Father. So what he did using the triangle was to say that there is one God, three persons, but God the Father is not God the Son. God the Son is not the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is not the Father. But then he took the circle. And the beautiful image of this diagram is the circle goes around the triangle and intersects at those three points. So when you have the circle, the line of the circle going between God the Father and God the Son, that line says, is God. So the Father is God. And then you have the Son going over to the Holy Spirit. So the bottom of the circle, the Son is God. And then the circle keeps going to the Holy Spirit. And the circle, the line to the circle between God the Holy Spirit and God the Father, that circle says, is God. So you've got the triangle saying, the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Holy Spirit is not God the Father. And then you've got the circle going around the triangle, and God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit is God. So you have one God, one beautiful dynamic diagram that shows that each of the persons of the Blessed Trinity is unique and distinct. And each of them is God, but each of them is a unique person. None of them are the other one. So the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Son, etc. So you've got a great diagram there for all of our geometric fans. But the shamrock is probably the easiest one to use because the shamrock shows one plant, one leaf, and that beautiful shamrock has three leaves in one shamrock, and that's how we look at God. One God, three divine persons. So that's when we started to talk about this, when the Holy Spirit becomes a little bit more pronounced in Scripture, and we start to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one now. Because Jesus, when he left, said, I am going to send you another witness. I am going to send you another advocate. I am going to send you the paraclete, the witness. And that witness is going to speak through you about me. And that's where we got it all.
It's interesting, and it's one of the very wonderful features of the Catholic Church, is that there is so much effort taken to try to describe or help people understand certain concepts at varying different levels. I mean, some people will say, wow, that circle triangle stuff, I mean, I'll stick with the shamrock. Because it, you know. Yeah. And other people will say, you know, a group could have a big discussion on this as to what this means, and they could pick it apart. And it gives you just a whole bunch of things to think about. You know, you start getting into all kinds of terms regarding the nature of God. And again, both are equally valid. If you want to say, you know, I get great peace by looking at the shamrock. If you say, you know, it really activates my brain when I think about this diagram. Either one is fine. The object of the game is to try to know God, to love God, to trust God, and to, in the way that you can do it. There's nobody who says, gee whiz, if you only know the diagram, you're not getting the shamrock, or vice versa. You know, and there's tons of this stuff out there. This is what makes all of these writings and all of these the Catholic apologists and all these things so interesting.
Sure. Because
you can find something that fits your need.
I remember when I was living in Milwaukee, one of the young people was now grown up, probably has children of his own, married, etc. But he used to come over to the store. We had a religious goods store over there on Lincoln Avenue, right across the street from the Basilica. And this guy came over, and he was having just, you know, the dickens of a time trying to figure out how to explain the Trinity. And I said, there's a really, really easy way. And I said, and I gave him St. Athanasius's diagram. And, you know, he never forgot it. And I see his mother every once in a while, and I see him every once in a while. And he says, boy, you really explained it so well. I said, I didn't. St. Athanasius did. I just happened to be awake in the class when we talked about it. So, you know, I remembered it. But it is an interesting thing. You're right. There are so many aspects of our faith that are explained symbolically, and we need those things. You know, we talked about this once upon a time when we talked about the Paschal candle. Why do we have a candle? Why do we have a candle on a birthday cake? So that you can blow it out, so that you can have breath, which is a symbol of life, of course. And so there are so many different ways. Water is a symbol of life-giving energy and cleansing and all those different sorts of things. So there's so many ways. Fire is a sign of strength and light and all these different sorts of things. So we do need to go back and forth and try to figure out all of these things and remember the great gifts of our faith and try to look and see all the various kinds of ways. Every sacrament has what is called matter and form. So there are those elements of a sacrament. All seven of them have matter, something that is used in the sacrament, especially something that appeals to the senses. All five senses are used. And when we use those signs and symbols, the sacraments, matter and form, teach us about the way in which something connects us to a divine reality. And that's why the sacraments are signs. They're outward signs. And Jesus started them so that we could understand the grace that God offers us through those sacraments.
You know, this is a little off topic, but we're talking about symbols. I noticed on the flag of Ukraine that they have a dove descending as part of their flag. Now, I'm assuming that they're an Eastern Orthodox primarily nation, but I'm assuming that's got to be the dove of the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine what else it would be to put on a flag, but what an interesting thing to have on a flag that incorporates into your national identity. Yeah. And boy, you know, you've got that, and you've got on the other side of the border, these people who are officially atheists who are trying to clobber you. It's remarkable.
I mean, and they, all of those areas are Christian countries in their symbolism. I mean, you've got Russia, the great images of orthodoxy are used in Russian Orthodox religion and the communication of the religion. For some strange reason, boy, they have built into their system, you know, all these things that are terrifying, you know, and they had Ivan the Terrible and all these other ones. And then on the other side, then you've also got Poland, the great bastion of Catholicity and Orthodoxy, for that matter. And then Lithuania and Estonia, and all of those places surrounding the Ukraine are symbolic of Christianity and Orthodoxy that at one time, as Pope St. John Paul said, you know, they're the two lungs of the church, you know, the East and the West, and the church breathes with two lungs. So there they are. And there's another symbol for us to think about.
Last week, I was planning on having Chris Ruff and Valentina, is it Porzakova?
Yes.
To be on to talk about relief for Ukraine. We're going to try to get them on next week. I had to leave because of a family situation that happened. But we're going to try to get them on, and we're going to have them both on at the same time, courtesy of this software that we're doing, assuming we can technically do it. I think that Valentina may be overseas right now, but as long as there's a fast internet connection, I think we can do it. So we're going to be talking about that. I also did put a couple of public service announcements up for, first, of course, we have our own process going on now, and you can go to the Diocese of La Crosse website. It's right there at the top, and we're going to find out more about exactly what is going on, because Valentina has been over to Ukraine a lot, and sure, with her chalice.
Her hometown has been completely destroyed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I hope we're going to get some talk from her about that, too, because that's just heartrending. But also, in Milwaukee, there is also a Ukrainian Catholic Church, and they were early adopters of getting donations for medical supplies, and they even list the kind of stuff that's needed. And gee whiz, when you read the stuff they need tourniquets and bandages and first aid kits and antiseptic. You know, it's all of the accoutrements that are needed when there's something horrible going on. But between those two, I suspect there's a lot of support heading out of Wisconsin towards Ukraine. And we're going to be talking with Chris and Valentina. I'm hoping next week we're going to try it out and see.
Please, yes, that'll be a program that'll be worth listening to. You bet.
Well, you know, it's interesting to talk to somebody who has family there and things like that. And I did not get to contact the folks in Milwaukee. They just are too busy right now, obviously.
Yeah.
When you can figure if they've got, I don't know how many thousand people in their parish, they're all Ukrainian, and probably every single one of them's got a relative in Ukraine. They are just beside themselves, I'm sure, and trying to do everything they can to help. So we're keeping them in our prayers. I was on eBay a couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago now, and you know, there's a rather famous postage stamp of a Ukrainian soldier being, shall we say, disrespectful to a Russian warship, the one that was sunk, by the way. And they actually made a postage stamp commemorating this moment.
And, did they really?
Oh yeah.
I learned so many things from you.
Just look up Ukrainian warship postage stamp. I mean, let's just put it this way. Here's this guy with his rifle and his backpack on and his helmet. And here out at sea, not too far away, is the Russian warship, the Moskva, the one they sank. And he's making, let's just say, to be polite, a rude gesture towards them because they were demanding that the Ukrainians surrender. And basically, the Ukrainians did a figurative gesture for nuts to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
they didn't just use those words either.
No, they didn't. I'm being very polite here, but it's a family show. But the Ukrainians went ahead and published a postage stamp.
You bet.
Yeah, a couple of people from Ukraine, of course, trying to make a little bit of money in all this mess, actually had some for sale on eBay. You know, for like $10, they'll send you the stamp. And I really wanted to get one because I thought that was a remarkable moment. Well, I heard from the guy in Ukraine a few days ago, and he said, we're going to have to refund your money because the building that was housing all of our stamps on our operation was blown up.
Oh, my star.
We lost all of our stock. We paid all this money for these stamps, hoping to make a few extra dollars, and now we've lost all of it. So I, of course, wrote back to him. I said, just keep the money.
Money, for heaven's sake.
Don't worry about it. And I told him, I said, our prayers in the U.S. are with you. And he wrote back saying he was just deeply pleased to hear all this. And I told him there are Ukrainian flags flying in this country, all kinds of things. So, but here's this guy just trying to make an extra buck in very hard times. And they blow up the building that had all of his postage stamps in it.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
And that's the brutality of all of this. I mean, it's the simplest things that, you know, that people take, you know, comfort in. And those are the things that these morons are destroying and brutalizing us with those things. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it was just in the news today. This will be old news by the time people are listening to this. But the Russians grabbed a whole bunch of grain from Ukraine that was already in bags or in silos or whatever. It's already for sale in the Mediterranean.
Oh, my.
They shipped it over, and they're trying to sell it to make some extra money because they are tapped out, of course.
Sure.
Anyway, I just was mentioning that because it's the symbol of the dove descending, I thought, was just a lovely thing to see on their particular flag.
Very resourceful. I've not seen that, and I've seen the Ukrainian flag everywhere, but I've not been quite so observant as to see the dove.
Well, maybe it's not the official one. I don't know. There may be a variation of it or something, kind of like we have American bunting with flag stuff on it, but it really was nice to see. Yeah. You know, I also wanted to do a little departure here also that at the time that the apostles were there and before Pentecost, there were a whole bunch of other people claiming to be messiahs and have this movement and that movement. And and that today they have the same thing going on. The fact that it took off almost like a rocket on Pentecost.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they became fearless all of a sudden. These guys were hiding and a little bit worried, you know.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite wonderful.
What the power of the Holy Spirit did to the apostles, and they went out and they started telling everybody about, and they were fearless. They were fearless. They were arrested. They were thrown into prison. And, stories. The Acts of the Apostles are filled with wonderful, wonderful stories of courage and justice. Oh, it was just, it's amazing. Just amazing.
And again, you know, as we talked about at Christmas time, all these thousands of years later, this is just going gangbusters right now. And all of the other, you know, movements of this great holy person or that great holy person or whatever from that time, they're vanished. They're just gone. They just dried up and went away. This has continued. And this is why I like to talk about Pentecost, because what an amazing moment to suddenly be inspired. Now, the story is also, people were hearing them in their own language.
Yes. Yes, that's a beautiful thing. And I think I mentioned this once upon a time, you know, in one of our broadcasts was the fact that if you ever get the chance to see the Passion of the Christ, you see that one scene where Jesus is being interrogated by Pontius Pilate. As you know, and I missed it the first time I went through it because, I mean, obviously it's such an emotional thing. But what goes on between Pilate and Jesus, that interrogation scene in that movie, The Passion of the Christ, that is done by those actors in Latin, not in Greek, not in Hebrew. It is done in Latin because, obviously, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor, and so he spoke Latin. And so the interrogation of Jesus by Pilate in the movie The Passion of the Christ is done in Latin. And it's just such it's one of those little pieces of that movie that just remind you of the fact of who Jesus is. You know, this was not, you know, I mean, he was not schooled in Latin. He didn't know how to carry on a conversation with the governor of Judea. And yet in this movie, he is portrayed as having this portion of sacred scripture recorded in the Latin language, not the Hebrew, not the Greek, not Aramaic, none of the other ones. This one is done in Latin. And God knows if it was done in Latin. But there's nothing to say that Almighty God and His Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ couldn't have done that. So those great symbols, those great expressions of our faith, we're blessed to understand and to know that if Jesus wanted to, Jesus could have done that very thing.
Again, a little diversion here. And this is old news for you. I've been out of the loop because I haven't been physically visiting the diocese. But several weeks ago, I was recording Chris Rogers talking about what he's up to with the youth and young adult ministries and the family ministries. And he told the story. He was talking about, he was doing all this stuff. And then he mentioned that a year or so back, he had a stroke. And I about fell off my chair. You know, what happened to you? And he told the story about how he couldn't read and he couldn't speak. He could look at letters on, and he couldn't understand them. And then he couldn't, and he couldn't speak at all. And he's lying in the hospital bed saying, "My life is ruined. What can I possibly do?" Yeah. And then he said that he felt like it was the evil one saying, your life is over. You're worthless now." And he says, "No, I'm not. God's on my side. I'm going to do this. And even if I stay this way the rest of my life, I still have Jesus with me." And he got strong. And the next day he was looking at these things that were written on the walls of the hospital room. And he forced himself to begin to understand them. And then he read texts on his cell phone. And he began to speak first with some stuttering. And he's fine. Now, we also were talking about the idea of this is not a personal revelation that he's trying to promote. We talked about that at length, that you can have an experience with God and it's yours. And that the Catholic Church doesn't really mind that. That's wonderful. Right. But if you try to promulgate it, to make it something that's part of the greater church, then the church needs to investigate a bit more before they allow that to happen. But he wasn't even trying that. But I was just thinking of what a story of strength that was.
Boy. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that is. I think I heard that story somewhere along the line. It is kind of the popular kind of midrash that we hear, you know, from time to time, you know, of people's lives, you know, different kinds of stories that are told. But wow, yeah, that's powerful. That's very powerful.
It was just about up there with talking to you after you were out of the hospital after your surgery that one time, and you talking about how, I was afraid.
Oh, you bet.
You know, we were going to talk about adventure camp, you know. No. Yeah, back up, Chris. I really want to hear about the story that you have. because it's a good comfort to people who are dealing with things, you know, to hear other people who do not lose their faith when something really horrible happens.
It's so beautiful that we don't.
Thanks be to God. Yeah. And I just dealt with that with my family, where I had a sister-in-law who died. And these people are they're not Catholic, but they do go to church, some of them more than others, I will say. But they have an abiding faith in what's going on with God. And if you don't even think about God, if it's like one of those things where you go, "Oh, it's just the big bearded guy in the sky," you're missing out. And that's one reason why I want to talk about Pentecost, even though it's 3 weeks away, is because, boy, if you don't think God can do some amazing things, stick
you
around.
You don't know God.
You don't know God. Well, that's the problem, is that most of us don't really. And how can we understand the completeness of God? But you can sometimes get a feel. And I think, you know, years ago, you used to always hear the God is love, God is love, God is love. You know something, after a certain while, when you spend enough time dealing with people who have been touched by God, God is love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, God is love. And that deal that from St. Athanasius that you can look at, all these different things. And if nothing else that you want to contemplate these next 3 weeks or so, contemplate on really understanding and internalizing what it means that God is love. I think that would be a wonderful thing. I'm going to take a quick break, Bishop. When we get back, we're going to ask you about other things coming up in the world of the Diocese of La Crosse. And so we'll be right back, okay?
Be right here.
You know, we were talking in the show a lot about how the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles and they began spreading their word throughout the world. This kind of mission still continues every single day right here in the Diocese of La Crosse. You may have noticed over the past several years, we have branched out into everything from just a bulletin in a church, which is a very important thing, to first a newspaper, now a magazine. We have the video masses. We have the online tutorials that you can get from Franciscan University at Steubenville. And amazingly, for the past 10 years practically, this particular radio show broadcast on two radio networks. And by the way, they don't charge us for that, which is really wonderful. And I do believe that our actions to kind of expand ourselves out using the internet and radio and television and print and all these things have paid dividends. We have more priests being ordained, more young people going into the seminary, more people even considering the seminary. Programs for each of those particular levels of development, not not to mention all the deacons that were just confirmed as well. This is really important work in a time when this kind of help is sorely needed, when a lot of people are discouraged, when a lot of people are looking for places to turn to try to figure out what is going on with the world. So I do ask you this. When the bishop's annual appeal comes around to you, and you'll be hearing about it periodically, please consider making donations to the Diocese of La Crosse. The money will help in all the programs I just mentioned, plus helping out the folks at Catholic Charities, the folks in the missions all over the place. It's a really wonderful, efficient operation, but like everything else, it does run on money. My favorite little avocado went from $2 for $1 to $2.85 apiece, and the diocese is dealing with that kind of inflation as well. So do what you can. Please participate and donate to the Bishop's Annual Appeal. And if you need more information, just call the Diocese of La Crosse and they'll be happy to explain how the whole thing works. Bishop, thank you for being on today. Your schedule is so busy. You have a very busy summer coming up as well. Did anything pop into your mind when I say what's new or what's going on? What's the first thing on your list?
Well, the first thing that I want to give thanks for is the ordination of deacons. We just celebrated that a week or so ago. And praise God that we have such wonderful men who have become deacons. As I've had the opportunity then to go into various places, up to Chippewa Falls, here at the cathedral, various other churches where I've celebrated confirmation. And these new deacons have shown up. And I'll tell you, our diaconate program, our diaconate formation program is so good. These guys are just amazing. I'm so proud. Now, at the end of June, we're going to have the opportunity to celebrate new priests. And we're going to have new priests coming out, and I will have the joy of ordaining them to the priesthood. So those are just a few of the things that we get to celebrate in our diocese. And then, of course, all the children, the young people who are receiving the sacrament of confirmation, how all of the young people, all the children who are receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. These beautiful celebrations, and the children all look so wonderful. It's just beautiful to see. So I give thanks and praise to God for those special times for the deacons who are received, and the way in which those deacons go out into the world along with their brother priests, and it's just amazing.
I don't know whether you saw it, and if you have a chance, try to look it up. I think you can search CNN, but there was a delightful thing a few days ago of a young little girl in the Catholic Church getting her first Holy Communion, and she thought she was supposed to drink the entire chalice.
Oh, the poor child.
And here's this priest he's standing there going, oh, no, no. And she walked away just as calm and serene, like,
That's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. This will be probably of the family history now for the next 100 years.
But
it was wonderful. It was so, and she's so pretty and dressed up so beautifully. It was her moment. And but it was a rather amusing video that, you know, people take videos of everything now. And it was a moment that family will, I'm sure, cherish. And I'm sure the priest, what do you do? No, you can't. You're not going to grab the chalice away from her and say, "Don't do that." But it was a wise thing to let it go and let her take the big drag of the chalice as opposed to the sip. But it was a great moment. It was really quite good.
Child was truly blessed.
Blessed. She's doing fine, I'm sure. Everybody's fine with that. We also have some new seminarians coming down the pike. A lot of things going on right now, and.
Yes. We're hoping to see some more come through. We've been receiving men from some of our nearby states. You know, we've had guys coming to us from far away as New Jersey. We've had guys coming through from Rapid City. We're blessed because we have seminarians, that these bishops trust us with their seminarians. And then we have guys, of course, coming from our own beloved diocese, coming in to study for the priesthood and thinking about it and praying about it. And of course, we're just blessed because Father Nate Kuhn is doing such a wonderful job with them. So there's lots and lots going on around us that continues to help us. Mm-hmm. We've got children in schools all over the place, and they are studying well. They are doing their catechisms and doing all of the other aspects of Catholic schools. We're blessed. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. In my absence this past weekend, I re-edited down a show with Ann Lankford that was recorded quite a while back. Now, when we were first starting up this online program that we're doing with the folks from Steubenville, where you can actually go online and take classes and you know, watch inspirational things and things like that. So this is another aspect of us trying to reach out to people to try to explain the basics of the Catholic Church and why you should probably have a little bit of fun learning some of these things. And it was very nice to hear the story again, because apparently the folks at Steubenville are just... the Franciscan University at Steubenville, they're offering this at a very, 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 very low price to the diocese so that the diocese can give it away to the people who want to check it out. So that's also going on at the diocesan website as well. A lot of stuff going on right now. No wonder you're busy.
That's true. And that's what we love about the job, because there's just so much to do and so little time in which to accomplish it. That's why, thanks be to God, God gave us a lot of time to work on all of these things.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you're doing well. I'm assuming that you're getting some rest and kind of trying to keep yourself healthy and wonderful now that, especially now that the Easter season is not yet over, but it's winding down a bit. You can take a little bit of time off, I hope, maybe.
Well, I sure hope that the folks are getting out. It's starting to get warm now, and the leaves on the trees are just fantastic, coming out and in full glory and resplendency. So we want to make sure to get out and just kind of walk around and look at the trees. I have a real rough time walking, and so that's difficult for me. But nevertheless, just looking out there and seeing the trees getting filled with leaves again. And before you know it, they're going to be all covered with snow. I sure am going to enjoy the time that we've got with vegetation and flowering plants and all kinds of other things. Yeah.
Go out there and act a little Franciscan.
Yeah.
There you go. Enjoy it. Bishop, could you leave us with a prayer and a blessing for all the folks who are working their way through Easter and now maybe getting even more excited about Pentecost?
By all means. Heavenly Father, eternal God, you have given us the resplendency of Easter so that we may understand and rejoice in the living presence among us of your own Son. We pray that we may always love Jesus. We pray that we may always be aware of his presence among us. We pray that in the power and the light and the guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we may always come to serve you and love you in the world and be happy with you in the next. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Happy Easter, everybody, and happy Pentecost.
Happy Easter to you too, Bishop. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks, Jack.
Now, Jack Zosia here with you on Connecting the Diocese from the Diocese of La Crosse. So nice to have Bishop Callahan on, especially when we're talking about certain theological terms. He's kind of got that instructor nature to him, and he really enjoys explaining things. I really enjoy hearing them, quite frankly, because I learn a lot of things. I loved his description of that diagram of St. Athanasius. By the way, this show, and probably the past 100 shows, are always available at the Diocese of La Crosse website at diolc.org. And you can go to that and then go to the bishop's page and you can click on that to hear the show. Or you can just simply go to diolc.org/connecting if you want to go directly to the MP3 audio files. They're downloadable. You can get them at no charge. We don't have to have you sign in, give a password, sign up, or do anything like that. And you're welcome to share them with other people. So if you find a show that really hits your hot button, by all means, please do so. You know, we just speaking of hot buttons, we just had a sudden sudden and limited heat spell in our neck of the woods, where all of a sudden it was close to 90 degrees, and our old farmhouse began heating up. We don't have central air. We do put in air conditioners, usually further into the summer, in several different rooms. So I said to my wife, I'm going to go over to the local store and buy a box fan, you know, one of those 20-inch box fans, because we can blow some air through, especially in the evening when the cooler air is out there. And we did have an old box fan in the garage, but you know how things are when they sit in the garage for several years. So she said to me, you know, the last time we bought a box fan, it was like $20 or so. And I'm really curious, she said, as to with the inflation going on, how much a box fan will cost you today. Well, with that in mind, I went over to the local store and I'm looking at fans, and they got a selection of them. The little ones, the tabletop fans, you know, the little guys that you sit there, they're like $25. They used to be maybe $15. And kind of a floor fan, one that has a stand, not a big shaft sticking up, but kind of a little stand so you can tilt it, that was $45. Well, the box fans were sitting there boxed up with no prices on them. And I was going, uh-oh, this is going to be scary. So I pick up a box fan and I take it over to the counter and I go, these don't have prices on them. How much are they? And they were $23, only $3 or more than 6 years ago when my wife bought a box fan. Now, how can this be? How can the little ones cost so much money and the big one cost much less? It's very simple. The smaller ones were imported. The big one was made in USA. So they didn't have to ship them over from some other place halfway across the world, and they didn't have to pay the exorbitant shipping fees that are going on now for these cargo containers. So just a little comment, and if you're going out shopping for a fan, or anything else for that matter, maybe look for the made in USA product if you can find one, because it could be a lot less money. Not to mention the fact I like that someone else in this country is getting a paycheck. And speaking of weather, towards the end of the show, Bishop Callahan was talking about how the leaves are blossoming, you know, coming out and this, that, and the other. And of course, before you know it, they'll have snow on them. Now, yes, this was being a bit sarcastic, of course, but it did point out something that I had kind of forgotten about, because I have been in this part of the world now for a good 30 years and even longer. Well, I spent time in Southern California when I was going to college and afterwards for a while, and they had a thing there that was called, I think, the Manana syndrome. The idea was that in Santa Barbara, where I lived, it was almost always nice. Every day was in the mid-70s, cool breezes in the evening. You seldom ever had to even put a sports jacket on. I don't care what day of the week it was, or what time of the month it was, or what season it was. It was always nice. Always nice. Well, the problem was that people did not feel any imperative to get out and do stuff. You know, let's get together and go go take pictures out in the park over here. They never got around to it, because you could always do it the next week if you didn't get around to it this week. And you come out here. I remember driving back from California, and the minute we hit this part of the world, I was listening to a forecast, because it was in the very, very early fall. And the forecaster was saying, well, you know, we're going to hit 78 degrees this afternoon. You better get out and enjoy it, because by next week it's going to be a lot colder. Well, that sinks into your way of thinking and your way of life. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing because you have a much better idea that time is passing and it's a good time to get things done and good time to think about things you haven't gotten around to thinking about. Very, very nice. Speaking again of climate and change and seasons, the song, which I believe is French, that is called Now the Green Blade Rises, the tune is used both at Christmas time, of course, at Easter. I first heard it years ago, again, back in Santa Barbara, when a church bell choir, now this is like 1971, they were kind of rare back then, did a very, very vibrant version. A lot of times when you hear the song, they kind of sing it, and it's kind of slow and reverent and all that. This is a lively song. It's sprouting. This is Pentecost. This is the Holy Spirit. So I was fishing around for something to play, and what I found was Steve Winwood, who is a Grammy Award-winning pop singer, and also a Celtic version, both lively in their own way. So I'm going to play them for you as we head out for today, and I will wish you once again, as the bishop did, a happy Easter, and I look forward to working our way towards Pentecost. We'll catch you again next week on Connecting the Diocese.
Love is come again like wheat that spring.